thank you to our sponsors, Digital Magic the Gathering Online Card Specialist, CardHoarder.com, and MTGOTraders.com. And also thank you to our paper magic specialist, GondaPlaid.com, along with Cape Fear Games, a online card store and brick-and-mortar card store. You can find us each week on MTGCast.com, StarCityGames.com, TCGPlayer.com, MyMTGO.com, and MTGSalvation.com.
Hello and welcome, everyone. This is a very special live episode of Monday Night Magic, episode 200. We have officially made it to 200. Only reason we're still here is because I make the show and I host the show, so I'm not going to kick myself off the show.
Mm-hmm.
So 200, here we come. And we're doing this live. It's through TalkShoe. We've done this a few times in the past, and I have to say, slowly, their technology is improving. This is already much more stable than it was a year ago when we did episode 150.
Excellent.
And so joining me around the virtual and actual real-life table, we have our virtual co-hosts, and Gavin and Jack. Say hello, guys.
Well, hello, ladies. Hey, everybody. It is great to be here.
Yeah, this is a pretty... We're pretty excited to have you back, Gavin. It's been a long time. You actually used to run the show when I was, like, on call at the hospital. It's awesome to have you back on the show.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited to be back. I mean, I'm going to try and make as many as I can. My schedule is going to calm down a little bit after Houston next week, and hopefully I'll be able to settle down and record shows on a more consistent basis, or at least rotate out with Conley.
And also around the actual table sitting next to me, and it's not just for a Magic game, it's actually here to do the show, the podcast, this is Steve.
Hey, the pinch hitter's here, and believe it or not, I have not been assaulted by any feral cats yet.
Yeah.
So, this is good. If you hear me wailing in pain and misery, it's because a cat came up and rubbed against my leg. I'm a little bit allergic. And
right behind you, though.
Oh, geez, it's on top of the couch. Good Lord.
Well, that's why the blanket's there. So I can...
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. Steve has never actually witnessed my just pure cat craziness that I have.
So, Tom, what is the likelihood that at some point during the show I'll have a cat just pounce on my shoulders from behind me?
Pretty much none. It pretty much does its own thing.
All right, folks, I'm safe.
You will be safe. The old one, we would drape upon you, but you're safe from that one. So, guys, we'll get right into the show. We have a lot to talk about this week. For you, Jack and Gavin, do you guys have any special topics, or should I just head right into the show notes and we'll kind of get through this?
It looks like we've got quite a bit queued up, so let's just try and get through what we have, and then there'll be plenty of good stuff brought up by the readers.
Exactly. So we'll do it. This will be a little different. We'll go through our usual Magic news. We'll have some listener emails, but at the same time, we'll also be opening up to callers. So if you have been able to navigate the digital morass that is TalkShoe trying to log in to talk, we will be able to do that, or we'll just have people chat questions and we'll answer those live. So there will be some interaction here in just a little bit. In the end, we'll have our usual MTG cast news and my B-movie recommendation, which was sent in by a listener, but I've seen this movie many times, and it is phenomenal. So first on our list is, well, this first one's pretty boring, actually, is the My Magic contest ends next week. This is that official match where you can write in to win basically either two tickets or one ticket to Pro Tour San Juan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember
I didn't send anything in for this, but just to let you know, it's going to be ending soon. Jack or Gavin, did you guys enter this thing?
I forgot. I still have to do it. Thanks for the reminder. I'm glad I came.
Yeah, you have a hint of time left.
Well, Gavin, you have a very good, how should I say it? You have a great voice when you write your articles, so I think you got a really good crack at this.
Yeah, so I think, because you're writing for Star City Games, do your articles show up on any other sites right now? So this is something we always go through with Conley.
Nope, just Star City Games, and they're my sole article proprietor currently, and they go up every Monday, so there'll be one up in about 2 hours.
Oh, there we go, and it's still under flow of ideas, right?
Yeah, I enjoy flowing the ideas. As many people want a column name to stick their hands, I enjoy flow of ideas.
Was flow of maggots already taken, or... That just didn't quite get the right message to your readers.
Maggots are a lot less common in the Northwest than in Minnesota, Tom.
I'd have to disagree. If you would take a survey of the feet of the homeless people in the Hennepin County ER, the maggot count is quite...
Concede. All right,
Gavin's like, I'm sick now. I give up, actually. So what we're going to do is we're going to go right into the Rise of the Eldrazi talk. We had our own exclusive spoiler last week. We've had, 20-some cards probably come out since we did that podcast. So we have a
pretty close,
a ton of stuff to talk about. The few little tidbits before we just go around the table and have everybody pick their favorites is we do have the Orb of Insight is up. Got a ton of new cards, and there's some that I'm obviously very excited about. The pre-release promo is going to be the Emrakul, the Aeon's Tauren. Release promo is going to be the Lord of Shatterskull Pass, and the game day promos will be everybody gets a Stagger Shock. The people again in the top 8 will get the Deathless Angel, which is a cool card, but probably one of the more unimaginative names for a card I've heard in a while. They could have just called the Indestructible Giver Angel.
Something, yeah. Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, if they're not going to make it legendary, then they really don't go all out for the name,
which is
kind of sad.
Yeah, they're right. The other ones have, like, hyphens and commas and dashes and stuff in them.
I mean, what's the opposite of Desolation? Because that would be, you know.
Desolation.
Yeah, your Desolation Angel and your, your Un-Desolation Angel.
Just beautiful.
Dis-Desolation.
Un-Desolation.
Oh. Desolation-less.
So to share here, because it's really easy for Steve and I to talk, because I'm looking at him. Oh, yeah. At least looking at his arm.
We got his, yeah. It's a beautiful arm, too, isn't it?
It is a beautiful. It is only a few.
One little freckle here.
One freckle, no warts.
I make sure not to get sunburned or anything, yeah.
Yeah, there's not even any, no ringworm. That's good.
Oh, good. Whew.
Well, that was one of my poor friends. His first day, they are now engaged. First day with his going to be his girlfriend at that time. And we're at this party. He's just like, what? She came up. She's like, he's next to me. He's like, what's this on my arm? Clearly a thing of ringworm. So I'm like, that's ringworm. How do you get ringworm? I'm like, from poor hygiene. And Holly, I thought she was going to kill me. She's like, you just told the girl that he doesn't clean himself. she was pissed. All right, Gavin, we're excited to have you back with us. Why don't we let you start? Because we haven't heard your thoughts on the Rise of Eldrazi at all. So
open slate.
Between the eyes, hit me up.
Wow, Rise of the Eldrazi. I'm excited. We've got, 50 or so, well, 30, I guess, not including the basic lands and cards and so far. And I like what they're doing with the set a lot. I think it's going to be especially interested for limited play. I'm not sure how it's going to get constructed. Basically, it just depends if the Eldrazi linear is strong enough. And I mean, it's really hard to say. And obviously, the older the format is, the less playable I think Eldrazi stuff's going to be. But the cool thing is there are a lot of cards that you don't necessarily need Eldrazi interactions for that still work really well. For example, one of the cards I'm most excited about, I don't know if you guys talked about this last week. I don't think you did because it's pretty new, is Uncharted Horizons.
No, this one has come out since the last podcast, so go for it.
Yeah, Uncharted Horizons is it's just a total throwback to Gift Ungiven. Even if you look at the art, this is the very first thing I noticed about the card. When I look at a card, the first thing I see is, name and then art. And the art is just a throwback to Gift Ungiven. It's got the person, lying there, an elf, fiddling around, you these little wooden things on a map. It's perfect. And it's G2 for an instant. And you search your library for 4 lands with different names, reveal them, and then you get 2 of them. Your opponent chooses 2 of them to go to your hand and 2 of them to go to your graveyard. And I think this is not only, really interesting, because it's not as straightforward as just going to give it, I'm just going to find 4 powerful cards or 4 obvious combination of cards, because it's all with lands, so you have to do something trickier, but it also opens up possibilities, when is G2 just for, rampant growth, or not rampant growth, but, Kadama's Reach for 2 lands to your hand or whatever, a strong thing to do. So, what if they're all really good non-basic lands? What if there's, Dark Depths and Urborg in there, right? At what point does it really become interesting, especially when you start interacting with older formats, with Retrace and Extended, or perhaps even 43 land and Legacy. I think there's a lot of interesting possibilities. What do you guys think?
I think it'll definitely see a ton of play in Casual, and I mean, older formats, Legacy, are going to try and break this thing in half.
My first reaction to it was a little, I now have an inner Jack voice, believe it or not, Jack. I saw this card, and I just couldn't help think it had the inner Jack voice going, well, hello, ladies.
Just couldn't help it.
Yeah, they definitely are, as I stated last week, working very hard to make the women as attractive as possible on the cards. You're starting to get a hint that they know that their main audience is teenage males, I think.
Yeah, because we...
What are appealing to the females? Have you seen the new card that we just got today?
No.
Oh, man, you guys got to take a look at the art on this.
Oh,
on this card we got.
The beefy guy.
Oh, I didn't look at the art, though, for the beef wrecker, whatever.
The beef master of Balagad.
There we go. We're opening him up right now.
Oh, beast breaker.
Oh, wow.
But I think beef master is pretty.
He is the beef master.
This guy could get you or Mori the open fist to run for his money.
Definitely.
All right, Gavin. Any other cards that you want to talk about? This is your chance to go just hog wild and Rise of Eldrazi.
Oh, man.
Besides the tribal spells are all mine. Talk about those.
All right, yeah. I'll let you have those. I mean, you know, I think that some of you guys might want to talk about some large spells, because I'm sure you want to talk about your 15, your whatever degenerate 15-15s that win you the game when you cast them.
Yeah, I do.
I like Overgrown Battlement. I think that's pretty sweet. I feel like, how many of you guys played, like, Scourge when Scourge was around?
You mean the set Scourge?
Scourge.
Yeah, I thought that was actually a really fun set.
Yeah, so stuff, when you guys remember, it was really fun and limited because you had all these high casting cost things going on. And in Constructed, despite having a lot of like really high casting costs, you know, like stuff being thrown around, it had a lot of really powerful, like, you know, cheap cards that would remember for a long time, like Tendrils of Agony and Mind's Desire, or very powerful cards in general. So I think this is kind of what this stuff's looking like. We're going to have a lot of limited stuff going on, maybe like a couple of expensive cards get played, and then, you know, there's some really good stuff on the cheap end. So, I mean, I'm pretty happy with talking about Uncharted Realms as the one card I get to discuss. It's a good one. But, yeah, I'm actually really excited to play this card. And I also want to talk about Ooze Genesis, but I think that one's hot.
You're going to get visually bitch-slapped is what you're going to get for taking my card. This card, you realize this card was made only for me.
Oh, I am so aware. Like, if you wanted FUG cast, right? Like, 2 years ago, that we started talking about oozes. 2 years ago when the set being made, it's a perfectly lined up. Like,
thing spoiled, I sent it to you, Tom.
If you look close enough at the artwork, you can see a picture of Tom in one of the ooze faces. Like, this is just made for Tom.
In the background, just going,
I think I heard that in development, it was actually called Tomgasm.
Yes, it was. I would love to see how they, because I think it has been hinted that they realize there are people that like specific cards, and I think they realize there is one person that likes ooze cards. I'm pretty sure that's me. All right, Jack, did you want to? Oh, you? I didn't look at the art for that one. That's kind of gross for ooze garden, actually.
Oh my gosh,
kind of looks like a butt crack with like great stuff.
Oh.
All right, Jack, share with us, what are your favorite Rise of the Eldrazi cards that are new?
All right, so far, the one card that has definitely caught my eye, and I'll probably be catching up getting a place out of this, All is Dust. It's a tribal sorcery, Eldrazi. Naturally, it's colorless because of that. Each player sacrifices all colored permanents he or she controls. Now, the reason I like this thing is, other than the fact that it's going to be an amazing board sweeper, this is a definite, like, douchebag card, and I kind of like cards that are douchebag cards, especially when, if you're a douchebag like me and you play something like Shroom and Elder Dragon Highlander and you use a bunch of non-colored artifacts, I should say. Anyways, this is a one-sided board sweeper. I like that. I like that a lot. And there's many ways to make it much cheaper. Otherwise, it's not all that exciting. It's basically a planar cleansing for one more. But I'm looking at that right now. And Mount Rockool, the Allen Storm, is pretty cool. I've totally butchered that name. But those are pretty much the only ones that have got me going right now.
Now, for you, Jack, Evan, and Steve, too, what are your thoughts for All Is Dust? Does it kind of blow your mind that we're seeing a colorless sorcery? Is that weird to see? We have not had that before.
Well, I think...
it's definitely weird.
Weird, but not something that I would have thought would never happen. They're eventually going to go everywhere with this game, as long as it sticks around that long.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, colorless spells that weren't strictly, you know, relegated to being artifacts was just something that I thought was going to eventually happen.
Do you think we'll ever see a colorless it's colorless aura? Or is that too close to equipment?
Why not?
Sure. As a matter of fact, I see one in the set.
I don't think it would be too pushing the boundaries to estimate that there's going to be one in Rise of the Eldrazi.
I mean, we already know there's a way to give non-Eldrazi creatures Annihilator, so there would be a creature enchantment that's colorless that does it, so who knows?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Blessing of the Eldrazi or something gives Annihilator to somebody.
Let's see, we went through kind of a lot of the cards that had me excited. The one that I wanted to bring up, it was Explosive Revelation. 2 red, 3 colors, it's a uncommon sorcery. It was basically a red treasure hunt. I mean, you're basically sorting through non-land cards to get to, or going through the land cards to get a actual card with a casting cost. What do you guys think about this in a set where, if you scroll up to the top of the MTG Salvation unofficial spoiler, you're seeing 11 casting costs, 15 casting costs, 7, 8. Is this going to be really strong, or am I totally jumping too far ahead? Jack or Jack?
I think the potential for it. I actually was really excited about this card when I saw it. Just because, I mean, you know, it gives you a card unlimited, but it also has potential to kill a creature. I mean, Erratic Explosion, you know, was fine in a lot of decks, and 4-0 had a pretty high mana curve. And this card is, you know, one to make sure you always get a card limited, even if it doesn't hit. And, I mean, you know, it probably hits them with a pretty reasonable cost. So.
Do you guys think it makes it a lot better since it can actually target players this time?
Erratic Explosion did hit players, too.
Oh, Erratic could?
Yeah, yeah, because there was a Erratic Explosion Draco combo that was even
better. Oh, yeah, the Draco one of them, yes.
I could definitely see somebody trying to make a really janky standard deck with this and it working for a while.
Now, Steve, what about for you? What card had you excited?
Well, actually, I was a big fan of the wall that Gavin mentioned, the Overgrown Battlement. Repeat his point that we've got another set with a lot of big, splashy spells, but how do you get there? And this Overgrown Battlement is just beautiful because you can build a strategy with, basically walls. And we now call them creatures with Defender. But
this one's actually a wall.
This one's actually a wall.
Not even a plant, which pisses me off. It should have been a plant wall, but
you've got a possible strategy of gumming up, you know, your opponent's fast creatures, you know, faster attacks with a few creatures with Defender. And we've got the perimeter Captain Guard, the perimeter guy from...
Oh, wow, perimeter Captain with all these Defender guys. That's crazy. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, you get a couple of things like that going on, you may not even have to cast your Eldrazi. Well, okay, you will. But, you know, you definitely got some... You definitely got some real possibilities for gumming up the ground and generating some extra mana and accelerating whilst keeping yourself safe for a few turns, getting to that point where you're accelerating into the mana for these big Eldrazi spells. And I think that'll be really interesting to see. So that has me kind of excited. And I did want to mention to people that it does look like there was a lot of speculation about a land that would add two colorless for casting Eldrazi, and it looks like we may end up getting that. It's all but confirmed, I believe, at this point.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I think the name is thought to be Eldrazi Temple and likely to give us either a colorless, which is pretty good, or two to cast your Eldrazi spells or abilities.
Yeah, which is, you know, is really nice.
Do you guys think it's all weird for when you compare Overgrown Battlement to Vine Trellis that in pretty much every way, Overgrown Battlement is functionally superior in every way to Vine Trellis?
Yeah, well, you know, Vine Trellis had its day in the sun, and it didn't make as big a splash as I think it could have, and, you know, they're looking for the wall that will eventually be as nice as Wall of Roots or Wall of Blossoms, and they're getting pretty close here, but it's going to, of course, depend on other walls.
And the one thing which we have not been able to see is for the All is Dust, the card that Jack talked about, is I'm waiting to see if the art on this is like the Eldrazi creatures, where it's kind of the same bleed-through art on it. Which I think would look pretty slick.
That would be interesting.
That would be really nice.
We do have a picture for Skittering Invasion, which is also
it's also a tribal.
Sorcery. Yep,
which is confirmed. Yes.
So yeah, Skittering Invasion is the other colorless spell that's been spoiled so far. It's a sorcery, tribal sorcery, Eldrazi, and it's a 7 cost for this sucker. You're putting 5/0/1 Eldrazi spawn tokens into play. Those are the ones that all have sacrifice this creature. Add 1 to your mana pool. So you're spending 7. You're getting 5 of these little dudes. And, but it is interesting that it is actually a tribal sorcery.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a very interesting fact of this.
Which is nice. I mean, when you have these lands, potentially other things that said they're reducing cost of Eldrazi, here you go.
Yep.
All right, Jack and Gavin, do you have any other cards you want to mention before we move on to our couple other news tips of the week?
Yeah, I have a couple other things I want to mention.
I was just being nice. I actually didn't want to hear, but...
The very astute guest 24 mentioned how Jace interacts very nicely with Explosive Revelation.
Oh, good point. So you can rearrange the top and hopefully hit your 15 casting cost Eldrazi when you pull this off?
Exactly, and then, you know, you just cast your next turn anyway, so you're all good. Did you guys ever talk about Lighthouse Chronologist?
No,
yeah, we hit it up last week, I think, didn't we? Or?
Just a little bit, though, but again, if you had some specific thoughts about it, go for it.
No, I don't really have any specific thoughts. If we hadn't talked about it yet, I thought it would be an interesting conversation starter. But if it's been covered, we can, I feel safe going past that. How about Guard Duty? Did you talk about that one?
Just lightly, but this is one where we mentioned it very briefly, but we obviously like the kind of dual nature of this card where you can use potentially to get a bonus with the Defender sub-theme, or you can use it to lock down one of their creatures so it can't attack you. Because your Emerald, if that gets Guard Duty on it, you're going to be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I think this card has a really interesting dynamic in the format, and I think it might actually have some destructive applications, because, I mean, I guess, you know, they go turn on Wild Macabre, you're like, all right, Guard Duty, go. People compare it to Kurgar's Desire, or whatever that card from Odyssey was, but that was a totally different world, and in a world where creatures rule, Guard Duty might be playable. Also, we have Eric showed up in the chat feed, or in the, you know, whatever we want to call it, the thingy with Bob, or where we can let them talk. Yeah,
right.
There we go.
Eric will be joining us momentarily.
I think he's here now.
Uh-huh.
He texted BRB. He'll be back in a second. And then we also have MTG Radio, which sounds very familiar. I think he's a MTG Radio. Isn't that a Star City user? Very popular. I'm not sure. But MTG Radio is also here, called in. But maybe they're just an astute listener. We can let them talk at some point in time.
Yeah, we'll be letting MTG Radio, I'm assuming, is also, chat thing go up, is one of the more popular podcasts on the MTG Cast Network, and really is. You know, we have some of the Elder Dragon podcast. This is the other podcast that focuses on Elder Dragon Highlander, which is arguably the biggest casual and maybe now even competitive format really coming up.
Yeah.
When have you really seen a format kind of blow up like this? I mean, really? But
this
like
is we would actually in the podcasting biz, we'd call this a meteoric rise.
That's right.
It's very popular, and there are many reasons why. But Tom, you used the C word with it. I mean, competitive?
We've gotten to this, that it's potentially going to be coming there soon to the competitive world near you. And that has positives and negatives, which we have thoroughly beaten to death. If I look at the chat window, I space out.
I know,
like bubbles
we're spacing out. It's changing. It's blinking. Flashy lights.
Motion sickness. All right.
So here's an interesting question for you guys about Rise of Eldrazi. How is this going to interact with EDH? So if you have a colorless, if you say have Karn as your general or something, right, then can you use Eldrazi spells? Or are those going to be considered like artifact-y for all EDH intents and purposes?
Well,
they're colorless, so they should work, right?
Yeah, because it goes by the color, not the creature type. And in MTG Rare, they actually did, I watched their videos that we put up, and they had a rules review about if you were to play an Eldrazi as your general, what kind of lands can you play? It was good to realize, hey, you can't play basic lands in an Eldrazi deck because they make colored mana. That is a no-no.
Right.
So you have to play all lands to produce only colorless mana.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of blows your mind a little when you think about it.
That's painful.
Yeah, but it's going to be pretty cool, though.
I could see the Elder Dragon ruling council having some debates about this.
Yes, and do we need to change stuff? Because, like you said, we can't predict what's going to come on in future sets, and do we expect to see some really good colorless legends? Don't know.
Yeah.
Colorless spells? Also kind of weird. So, guys, let me move on to the next few news items, as we'll be trying to open this up to a lot of listener feedback, and that will hopefully take a little while. And this is one I missed the first time I went around, but this is actually the booster quest. And this came up on the Mothership site. And this is a really interesting way of almost doing like a limited... It's not even limited. It's like a personal role-playing game that you do with a booster pack of Magic. Basically, you can take a booster pack from any set, you open it up, and they have these different, basically, quests or challenges as you go through this. And you also need a six-sided die. As you go through, and depending if you have a certain kind of card, you roll a die, you get past these different challenges, and in the end, you can hopefully defeat the boss. They actually did one of these before.
Huh. Interesting. I haven't seen this before.
Yeah, so I had to put this on because I was really, really interested because if you have an extra booster pack, you can... You know, spend a good half an hour having fun with that booster pack instead of just busting it open and saying, okay, I'm done with that. You could, if you get your booster box of Rise of Eldrazi, you can do this with your whole box if you want to.
It's true.
Which I thought was kind of fun.
And if your booster happens to have the Realms Unvisited, or what was that called again?
The gifts, the green gifts ungiven.
The green gifts ungiven. You might spend a little more than half an hour with that booster pack.
I need to open the rest of this in the bathroom. We'll be back in about 20 minutes.
Crack open some wine and put on some soft music.
A couple of candles, some of the candles.
Because that would actually set the cards on fire. That would be a bad idea.
Well, I thought you've already well explored this, Jack. I still think that is still one of my all-time favorite Magic stories, is somebody actually lighting cards on fire in a store.
that was a very, very interesting day. Oh God, I almost ran out screaming. But it was one of those things where you saw it happen, and you didn't really want to believe that it actually occurred, but it did.
This is something, Jack. I think do we have a couple minutes? Can Jack relive his story for people that may be new listeners of the show?
You know, it's one of the classic Monday Night Magic stories that we do tend to revisit, and this is a special episode.
We should reminisce. And
we're reminiscing.
Before you start, Jack, is this – Steve has been taunting me for like a week about some sort of secret gift. Is that the secret gift?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I won't look at it.
Secret gift.
Okay, Jack, tell me. And when I was pointing at a card, not at his pants. So, Jack, tell us this.
Pardon now?
Tell me the story about the
story of the burning card.
Yes, I would love to. I haven't heard this in a while. I think some of our listeners would like to hear about this.
Please talk about the burning cards quickly.
All right. In the way, way, way back machine, I first started going to a card store that I'm not going to name, and very teasingly, somebody was going to incinerate somebody's card. And the guy just started joking, and he goes, "Oh, ha, 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 cancel," or something like that. And the guy pulled out his lighter and actually physically lit the gentleman's card on fire and then started laughing. And the guy who had his card lit on fire was like, "Ah, oh my God, ah." But he was also laughing at the same time, so thankfully everything was smoothed over, but oh wow, it was insane.
It wasn't a Tarmogoyf before people realized they were good, was it?
No. This was a Pauper tournament, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay.
So... Yeah. None of the cards were especially valuable, but it was something that you sat there and you watched it happen. And like I said, you didn't really think it occurred, but yeah, it did. Oh, and then guest 24 is actually somebody I know. We microwaved a foil card and actually have it sitting in the case waiting for somebody to buy it along with a Bill Clinton card, but all regrets from that.
That's like, have you ever cut the grape in half and put that in the microwave and watch it spark and start on fire?
Grapes? No.
Yeah, if you cut it in half, and you have to have like a little bit of skin still connecting, and it'll actually arc back and forth.
Nice.
This is what happens when you like post a summer camp. Like if you're like the staff member at a summer camp, you learn these little tricks.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Steve, when you were at the Source, did you ever play Iron Man Magic at the Source? Did you ever take part in the Iron Man Magic?
We never. No, I never went to the Iron Man Magic.
Oh.
And that's interesting. I would love to do that with
go through the comments and make Iron Man Magic decks. Just throw like $5 into it.
Is everybody out there familiar with Iron Man Magic? Well, maybe not everybody is, but essentially Iron Man Magic is it's a full deck ante tournament where basically you enter the tournament and your deck is your ante. If you lose your deck as well. So it's and hence the Iron Man moniker.
And also when cards go to the graveyard, that's it. You had to.
Oh,
Iron Man Magic's where they went to the graveyard and removed from the game, you actually tore them up.
Oh,
and that's why you went to the tournament. That's why you had to win the other person's deck in ante, because otherwise you would not have enough cards to compete the rest of the tournament.
Oh boy.
That's going to be even more fun. So, like, cards like Terror and stuff were perfect.
Wow.
Let's see. Next, and this is one where I think Jack and Gavin, you might actually have some feedback on this. We're going to kind of go into the tournament section of the show. And this has become, it's almost like a plague right now, is all these different either Magic sets or Magic stores are starting their own cast tournament series. Of course, we have Star City Games, Opens, we have the TCG Player, and the Midwest Master Series. But also joining the fray is now MTGFanatic.com, which is a very good online card store. And then Superstars Game Center, which, if I'm correct, is the company that runs Channel Fireball, I think.
Correct, that's right.
Okay, and... I just want to get your thoughts, Gavin, for you who, you know, as a kind of pro tour player where you potentially get some of your income from this, is this all good? Are there any downsides to having 3,000 million tournaments to keep track of on your calendar?
I think this is just straight up upside. This is one of the best things to happen to Magic in actually a long time. And I feel like this is the direction that tournaments should be taking. I think that a lot of the having people run their own tournaments, for money that as incentive A is good for the pro players because they have extra ways to get financing and more series to play in that can build their name up better. And it allows there to be a sustainable lifestyle without losers having to continually put forth money. But at the same time, they're popular enough and they're very, very popular at that, that they're sustainable for the companies that are running them. The whole Star City series, for example, has been absolutely phenomenal. The turnouts have been incredible, and it's a really good job with the coverage for the most part. You know, as much as they can do with pretty much just Phil and Rashad running the show on X coverage and GG's Live, and the fact that you know they're getting so many people Now people are chasing rewards, doing really well. I mean, I think that this is just incredible for Magic. I mean, you think that splitting up the tournaments could theoretically be a problem, but I don't think it's really turning into that.
Could you hear me now?
Hello?
It's Eric. Eric, are you here?
I finally am.
Oh, but you,
Eric, you sound like a Decepticon.
Yeah, you sound like my grandma right now when she has a really bad cold.
If I were up this time, I would be frightened.
So here, Eric. Let me do this here for you, quick. All right. Well, Gavin, thank you for telling us about the this one you get when you try a new technology. It is always an adventure. So, Eric, pay attention to the little chat window. We can talk about how to have you calling on your phone because actually works. That's actually how we're doing this right now. We're doing this through Skype via the phone number for Steve and I. And Steve, you had something about as we add more and more of these cash tournaments, we might get some crossing of wires and schedules.
Exactly.
So tell me what's come up.
Exactly. Well, just this past week, it was announced by Legion Events that they were going to be running the U.S. Nationals in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which Tom and I were kind of jumping up and down because that's our backyard. In fact, if Tom was on the other side of the building, we could probably get out the binoculars and see the Minneapolis Convention Center from his, 18th floor apartment up here? Special place, but
yes.
But what was interesting is it looks like Nationals is scheduled the same weekend as one of the Star City Games opens, I believe, the 21st of August, which I believe Star City Games is going to be in Denver. So I'm really curious to find out whether or not Star City might decide to relocate, reschedule.
Because it wouldn't be by much, but by like a weekend.
I mean, Nationals. Wow.
Seems to be and this is something I put in the show notes for all of you guys, is do you feel like as there more and more tournaments come up, do you feel this is ever going to dilute the player pool where you're not going to be having as good of a competitive four showing up at a given tournament? Because now you actually have to maybe make some choices where you can't physically fly to every tournament there is.
I don't know. Gavin, you've traveled around a bit, and I know Conley is probably listening. I see him on here, and he's trying to connect. Any input from you guys who have actually gone and gone after these events?
Well, personally, I haven't went for any of the I haven't been at any of the Star City events yet, although I will later this year. But from what I've heard, they've been absolutely wonderful. There are occasionally things around opposite weekends, like today. I mean, this weekend, for example, we had Grand Prix Brussels in Brussels, and and then Star City stuff opposite of it. But the players will usually gravitate. The players who need the pro points will gravitate towards the Grand Prix or whatever, and the other players will, who are in the area or the local players. It just gives more players more options to do because the local players who are going to fly over to Brussels anyway just have an extra tournament to play in. And the tournament players who are flying over to Brussels, they don't really care as much about, $1,000 or $500 that, that they'll get for top aiding, but they need the pro points. So it works out both ways.
All right. And Conley is also joining us right now. Conley, are you able to hear us and also communicate with us with your voice?
I am able to hear you.
I want to have you and Gavin fight. Just fight it out.
No, really.
I'm not kidding. I actually want to hear you guys fight.
You want me to what?
I wanted you and Gavin to fight, but I was kidding.
Gavin and I don't fight. We just love.
Oh. Well, so sometimes if you fight before,
they kill their players. Awesome decks, and then I don't play them. That's how our relationship works.
You did use the word relationship. I'm confused.
Most people don't play my decks. They get scared.
Yeah, I have resolved to play only 5 of your cards for Houston and nothing else. I'm not going to be an idiot anymore. Okay. Or perhaps 250 of your cards are used in whatever the case is.
We'll not be playing 250 cards.
Conley, I must say, occasionally, you must have some awesome two or something. Sometimes a card or a deck only works for you.
No, it's not true. People are they think it only works for me. They only work for a tournament. I don't build for formats. I build for tournaments because it's smarter because I'm playing in a tournament. I'm not playing a PTQ season, so there's no reason to build a deck that works for 3 months. And then people pick up the deck 3 weeks later, and they assume that I built it for me only. That's the stupidest thing ever. You can't really just build a deck for a person. You build a deck for a tournament.
Yeah, and that actually becomes the key to your success there, is because, like, you know, you go to a tournament with ideas, you're going to try to win the tournament, what a novel concept, so you would like to do that in that tournament, and then, you know, like, I've heard so many people be like, your band's deck can never win. No, it was very good at winning in that one tournament. I mean, still doing good now, but you have to make changes if you follow along with Conley's articles on Channel Fireball. You have to make changes to the deck, you know, over time to make sure that
you... Exactly. Like when you're building for a PTQ season or whatever, like, it's really hard to tell what the metagame's going to be like in some neighboring state or whatever. So you're basically building a deck for the format at that point, and then you're going to play that deck, you know, two or three times across different PTQs. So it's a little different building for a PTQ season than for, like, a Pro Tour or a Grand Prix, where you can kind of guess the metagame a little bit better. There's going to be more people, and you're only playing one tournament, so...
Now, Conley, did you have... We went through our Rise of the Eldrazi picks. Did you want to go through a couple of your favorite cards from the new pool of cards that have come out over the last couple... Basically, week, I guess? Less than a week.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess the only one really worth mentioning from a competitive standpoint is Realms Uncharted, and I'm sure you guys are already talking
about it. That's what I thought of.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed about all these the level-up cards. None of them are very exciting. Like, even a guy that becomes a 4-4 or whatever, like, it's still not that good.
But I mean, I guess I would have to agree from the competitive standpoint. What from the flavor standpoint? I have to admit, I really like the idea of level up characters. I'm not playing in tournaments.
I love the idea of level up. I just think they made it cost way too much or use too many level ups. Like, spending 14 mana to get a 6/6 trample, like, I understand you get to do it over different turns and stuff, and it'll probably happen a ton in limited, but it's just completely unrealistic for constructed. Like, not only are you paying 2 mana for a 2/2, and then next turn you have your Putrid Leech or whatever that now you spent 5 mana on, but then you have to spend that 9 more mana to get him to a 6/6 trample. Like, you just don't have that kind of mana laying around and construct it unless you're playing a control deck, and you don't really want to play a 2/2 for 2 in a control deck.
And to make matters even worse, you can't just end of turn it. Like, if you could just...
Like, look at Figure of Destiny. You spent, like, literally 10 mana total, or 11 mana total, I guess, and you got an 8/8 flying, first-striking, freaky dude, which is much better than a 6/6 trample. Plus, you could do it any time. Plus, like, you had a little bit of help with, like, Ranger of Eos and stuff grabbing him. And he was only 1 mana. Like, the only 1 mana guy we have right now is our looter guy that we spoiled. And, like, that guy's not very constructed worthy, unfortunately.
All right. Any other... So, Conley, like you said, I have to agree, though, with your thoughts on level up. I think it would have been a little bit more exciting if there weren't these... basically ranges where they don't do anything when you level them up, and that does seem kind of boring, where, like, wow, I just level them up 3 times and nothing changes.
Yeah.
That almost should have been, like, Planeswalker, where when you level somebody up, something changes.
Something
with that
happens.
Card.
Yeah, we were definitely spoiled by Figure Destiny, which is obviously a card that these are, you know, not direct descendants of, but obviously related to.
But, I mean, we weren't necessarily, like, for Gul'drath's Assassin or whatever, if that guy, instead of going level 2 and level 3, he became a 2-2 that killed things, if it was level 1, level 2, and then his last ability was level 3 plus, and, like, basically everything is lower down one level, that guy would be tournament playable, because you got the 2-2 on turn 2 that can kill things, and then, you know, for 4 more mana or whatever, you have your 4-4 that can kill things, and, like, he's just much better. But instead, they made it to where, like, he's a pretty horrible 1-drop, because you don't want to, you know, spend the next 2 turns making him into a 2-2. Like, I don't know, just, I think that if they shaved about 1 level off of everybody's level up things, that it would be better, pretty much universally across all these guys.
Conley, you did just say 2-2, which sounded kind of funny. I now envision you wearing a 2-2.
Well, I'm wearing nothing, actually.
He's wearing just white high tops and suspenders.
Awesome picture.
and he's drinking a grape soda.
No pictures.
We did want to say thank you to the listener from a couple weeks ago that did send Jack a pornographic image of Chandra Nalar. But it's right after we did that.
Oh, God.
It was a horrible picture, I guess.
Hey, what? Nobody sent that on to me. Come on.
Well,
spread the love.
Were you guys aware of this whole rule? I had never heard of this Rule 34 thing.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't either.
Yeah, this was something I learned after we talked about that episode. Apparently, people aren't aware, apparently Rule 34 is the rule of life. This is not just for magic. And pretty much anything that exists, there is a then pornographic or dirty version of that. Not sure you do that with, like, chess.
If it has somehow made its way to the internet, by then there will be porn of it. It doesn't matter. It's like English furniture. There's probably furniture porn out there somewhere deep in the recesses of the interwebs. And I learned that the hard way.
Yes, and as everybody's typing in the chat window, unless you really are brave and want to witness this, do not type Rule 34 and another search term in Google. Just so you know. Yeah, somebody do not
put in...
We're not going to type in Hello Kitty.
or Lego. No. That's a very good hint. Continue on our kind of our tournament.
Can you hear Eric now?
Oh, yeah, Eric is here. There we go.
Yay. Hey, before we get too much further on things, I don't know if you guys corrected this, but last week when you were talking about the changes to the Star City Games tournaments there, you were talking about how they're the thing that you omitted was the fact that they're now adding points if the tournaments go larger. So when the tournament goes larger, they're going to add in points, so they're going to go further down. So, and those points count towards your at the end of your tournament.
So it's kind of like the frequent player program, kind of?
Well, I just think a lot like maybe not. I don't know.
It's like almost like the old arena.
It's a lot like Pro Points.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Bigger tournament, more points on the line.
So thank you, Eric. Yeah, because I admit I kind of just breezed through that really quickly. We also have Grand Prix Brussels has officially become the largest standard tournament of all time at 1,000. You wonder if it really was 1,667 if they just rounded up because they didn't want to have to say 666 on the website. Do you wonder? I'm a conspiracy theory at heart.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, that's possible. For everything, everything I see. Numbers everywhere. 1,667 players showed up to play at Grand Prix Brussels, which is a lot. I want to say congratulations to be prepared for a foreign name butchering by Tom, which has become my trademark apparently.
In 3, 2, 1.
Emmanuel Giusti. And he won with
Jund.
Wow, blowing.
Half of the top 8 was Jund, and none of the top 8 are anybody we know of.
So is there anything we should, anything to talk about or hear from this besides the size of the tournament? Is there anything like for Conley or Gavin, anything for us to learn from this, or should we just keep moving?
Not really. It's not. It's, Jund and a bunch of other decks we know about, like Mythic and the Naya, Boss Naya deck, are basically the only decks on top 8, so.
Yeah,
I mean, it's certainly good we're getting a new set with lots of cheap spells so we can beat Jund. Oh, wait.
Hey, we do have 0/4 walls to tap for mana.
And we got 15, dude. What could Google possibly wrong?
Yeah, how does Jund beat you when you cast 7 mana sorceries and put 5/0/1s in a play?
What I don't think you guys are thinking about is all of Jund's spells, they have one thing in common, they're all colored. So if you're protection from colored spells, they can't do anything to your creature.
Well, they can. They just have to sideboard in their Hunting Spark Mage and hook up with the Basilisk Collar and then take you down.
That's fair. You got me.
Boom.
Can't bash.
I'm trying to imagine hook up with somebody wearing a Basilisk Collar. I imagine like the really, really big, what do you call them? Was not emo, but when you're dressed in black. And what
the goth stuff.
Goth, thank you.
Yeah,
goth,
I mean,
yeah.
There's plenty of goth girls running around with big old spiky collars.
They kind of look like the dog on the card. Pretty similar.
Exactly.
I'd imagine you obviously doesn't surf Suicide Girls enough.
We've talked about this before.
Exactly.
And my wife is here.
Yeah, exactly. Only
be careful.
Oh, I'll bite my tongue.
Also, hanging on our tournament talk for the week, we have Star City Game Open was in Orlando, and we should probably look. I bet the other half is probably
legacy.
The legacy portion is probably done. But yesterday, Charles Gindy won the standard portion playing Boss Naya, defeating Jund.
Yeah.
So this kind of, there's almost like this trifecta of decks that kind of seem to cycle through. Jund probably winning it most of the time.
Yeah.
But then Boss Naya occasionally taking over. It seems like we get I call it a red deck wins, or even I call them the mono red deck right now.
Sure. But can we take a moment and talk about the ninth place deck?
Yeah, from Star City Games.
From Star City Games, the ninth place deck, and this is where I want to hear a little bit of input from our Joes. No, it's a polymorph deck.
Woo!
Polymorph combo deck kind of thing. Well, not kind of combo. I don't know. Let me throw this out to the people who know better than I do. Is this a new deck to be looking at on the radar, especially with Eldrazi coming around the corner?
I wrote an entire article about this 2 weeks ago.
Oh, well,
say, because I obviously... I read the article. Would you mind maybe summarizing your thoughts for all the people listening live?
I don't really like blue-green. I mean, I think Polymorph's definitely a good deck right now, and people should explore it. I don't like blue-green very much. I don't think Explore is very good in the deck. Vines of the Vastwood is okay, but, I think I'd rather have Silence in that slot. I wrote an article about it. I like blue-white better. You can splash green if you need to. I think Polymorph's a good deck.
So we got Gavin, what about you? So I really want you guys to fight.
I basically have to side with Kami and everything on this one. I don't have any reason to play standard at all. And Kami wrote an article about it, and I didn't, so I would default it.
Well, no, like, I mean, he had a green, like, he got a Garrick, which in my list is Elspeth, which is probably better anyway. And other than that, his greens supplied him with Rampant Growth and Explore, both of which are unneeded because, I mean, he's trying to get to four mana. I was running Everflowing Chalice, which is just better, I think, because you can, like, go Everflowing Chalice into Iona in the late game or whatever.
And two vines of the best, but it seems so cute. Like, there's no consistency there.
Yeah, I was running four Silence and two Dispel in my main deck, and then four Negate and two more Dispel on the sideboard as Protection Wave. And then, like, Wind Zendikon, it's okay, I guess. I was running a Martial Coup and Thopter Foundries in my deck with Border Posts. Wind Zendikon, I mean, you're never really going to go beat down with it, so you're basically just playing it as a one-mana non-guy. But I would rather have Thopter Foundry, which buys you more time when you're not actually comboing off, or you can actually just kill them with a Thopter Foundry. By making, you know, four or five guys. But yeah, I mean, it's a good deck. Ponder is okay. I tried Ponder in my list. It kind of turned you into more pure combo deck instead of like a control combo deck. But yeah, it's a good deck.
So we know who was down at the Star City Games in Orlando. No, not Eric. It was the guy from MTG Radio.
Oh yeah. So should we bust in the live caller here and have MTG Radio tell us a little bit about the tournament there?
Mm-hmm. I think that would be awesome.
Here we go. Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. Hopefully you're listening, because you're getting put on the spot right now.
I don't see the chat from the past moment or two.
So we will be unmuting MTG Radio Lomas right now.
Nice
yes.
breathing.
Heavy breathing. There we go.
Good job.
It's like Darth Vader's entrance.
All right. Well, you got your chance.
Goodbye.
So what's the other more important thing, this is why I was waiting for Conley to show up, is we mentioned that Nationals is going to be in Minneapolis. Very excited about this. And Conley, are you still planning to attend? Am I actually going to get to meet you in real life and have you stay at my place?
Yes, there's a 100% chance I will be there.
Now, have you?
I did not know anything about staying at your place, which scares me a little bit, but I will be at Nationals for sure.
Well, I also want to kind of let you know what it would be like to stay at my place. Have you ever seen Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah, since that's kind of the career path I'm going down, yes, I've seen Silence of the Lambs.
Yes, you know, because you've got, you know, Buffalo Bill.
You're going to be the psychologist, not the serial killer.
Not a serial killer that makes, like skin tapes and stuff like that. So basically, it's like a pit. You're going to be living in a pit, and I'm going to have you put a lotion on your skin.
Precious. Oh, okay. Yeah, my career path is not...
Precious! Are you all right, Precious? It puts a lotion on its skin or it gets the hose. Oh,
again.
And the last little tidbit I have for news is, this was over in the Starkington Post, is Brandon of the Huffington Post. I have no idea if these guys are related or what's going on here. But it was interesting to hear a person that was writing through how they were looking for a new hobby. And how they decided to play Magic as their new hobby is solely because it had a pro tour where you could make money and that would then give the incentive to keep playing that hobby. And I was kind of curious, is that a dangerous reason to pick up Magic as a game where the only reason you're going to pick up the game is to win and go into the Pro Tour? And this, Brandon had the goal of being in the Pro Tour by 2012, is what was stated in the article. I didn't know.
I don't think it's a dangerous thing to have that as your goal. I think it's a dangerous thing to expect that, because then you're gonna hit rock bottom much harder. But if, like, that's your goal and, you know, you're picking it up, I mean, he said he's picking it up as a hobby, like, the simple term hobby implies he's picking up to have fun and kind of use his free time, whatever. So, if he's just using the Pro Tour as kind of, like, his ultimate goal and, like, the thing he's achieving or striving towards, like, that's completely fine. I think being motivated is a good thing to do in your hobby. But if he's, like, expecting to, like, make lots of money, then that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with Tommy on this. Like, if you're not playing Magic for the money, you're playing because you enjoy doing it. I mean, but on the other side, I can see, why he would choose this over other games, because I already go look at the game, right? Like, I've never played a card game. I go look at the store. I could choose any one of these games, but only one of them has a pro tour like this. I'm like, well, I would play for the competition. I want to go around and have to play against, you know, I want to play in high-level tournaments. Like, that's why you would choose Magic. And I feel like that's why there's such a compelling reason to play it over so many other things on the market. The money that you get is, you know, or that you might get is just a nice little bonus.
Yeah, there's like other things. There's like stability, like the game's been around for like 18 years or whatever. Like, you know, it's not going anywhere, which is awesome. And your cards maintain their value, which is another good thing. Like, it's not like Yu-Gi-Oh or Pokemon where you kind of jump in and pray and don't know what's going to happen. So.
Well, and I've read that article, his original post, and what he's talking about. And basically, he's already written a book, and so he already has cash. So now he's looking for something to occupy his free time. Apparently, he had been, you know, surfing the web and enjoying, you know, like, you know, scantily clad women and stuff, but that didn't float as well with his wife. So he's looking for a hobby. I think he's played Magic in the past, and he's kind of like, well, I can do this. And, hey, it has a pro tour where I can make money. I'm going to set my goal at that, and, yeah, maybe it's an easier sell to the wife when you can say, look, I'm wasting hours and hours of free time for something that might earn me money.
But do you think somebody would keep playing, though? And this is why I put this in the show, and like, how do you get to the pro tour level? Don't you need, like a play group, a testing group that you're actually, like, a Friday Night Magic? It seemed weird that you just call it a hobby, but then your goal. I just seemed really weird to me.
Yeah, I was thinking that, you know, the whole idea of trying to get to the pro tour pushes it just a little beyond what I would call a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have at least a touch of obsession. And I'm not dissing on people who want to do that. I'm just saying it may just go a little farther than a hobby.
I don't think so. Like, how many people
until you've made the pro tour. Yeah, until you've made the pro tour, it's a hobby.
No, even if you make the pro tour, it can still be a hobby. Like, how many people's hobby is golf or basketball, and yet when they step out onto the court or, you know, the course, they still want to win that particular game against their friends or whatever, even if they're drinking and having a good time, like, they still want to win. Like, competition does not automatically make something not a hobby. Like, unless you are consistently making money at the game or like, you know, doing other things like writing or whatever to make game, like, it's pretty much a hobby. Like, I mean, you can call it other things, you can make it look like other things, but just because you want to win at something does not make it automatically not a hobby. Like, there are things that don't involve competition, of course, like building model ships or whatever, or toting around a wooden duck on a string, but that kind of stuff gets traded out in the 70s, so...
I mean, the only people who you might be able to consider it isn't a hobby for is maybe someone like LFC who has a legitimate business and, you know, like, you know, makes the majority of his income. But even then, I mean, you have to have it as a hobby in some sense. Because if you notice, I don't think I can name a single person I've ever heard of on the Pro Tour who does not enjoy music, who does really well at it. I mean, if you want to say, like, Daniel Slifer or something, whatever. But, I mean... If you want to do good, you have to enjoy playing. You can't be miserable the whole time because you're just going to do terrible. It's like a psychological thing.
But my question for you, Gab, would be like, how did you get that love, though, in the first place of the game? Did you pick up Magic just to hopefully make the Pro Tour initially, or did you pick it because your friends were playing it and you thought it looked like a cool game?
I started playing Magic when I was 11. If I had more than a dollar in my wallet, I would have been surprised. So I didn't even know the Pro Tour existed when I started at all or anything like that. But the thing is it works both ways. Like, when I started, I had no idea how to make money or whatever. But as I played more, you know, the idea that there was something to strive for, that there was, you know, at the time the JSS or, you know, even like Pro Tours or whatever, was what kept me around. Like, you know, it wasn't just like something I picked up and would be like, okay, you know, this is a neat little game. I'll play for a year and then leave. The fact that it was continually changing and there was competition that kept me around. If I couldn't constantly go play and exercise my strategies, whether it, you know, be a pro tour or a Tepidem, then, I mean, why do you want to keep playing a game? You're not going to be able to try out in different ways.
Yeah, Tom, if you look at this from, like, a video game standpoint, like, you go out and buy, like, an RPG or something, and you buy it because you're expecting it to be really fun and have, you know, a good time or whatever, and then you beat the game, and unless the game has high replay value, like, you're just going to go trade it in. But then you go buy something like, I don't know, Modern Warfare or something, and, you know, beat the single player or whatever, but then you have multiplayer to entertain you for, like, days and days and days and weeks and months or whatever, because you're playing competitively with other people. You're doing something more than what you originally started the game for. So, like, all the poker is it's something that gives the game replay power. It gives you something to strive for, to win money on, to consistently do something. Otherwise, you know, you could get burnt out or bored or whatever if you're looking for that competitive edge.
Okay. I get what you're saying, where it does kind of... I understand it completely as something that keeps you in the game. I was just kind of... I just thought it was interesting to hear somebody say that was the reason that they thought they were going to pick up the game in the first place.
I think he's played some in the past. So... he's had exposure to the game already, and he's deciding that I'm going to pick it back up. And one of the things I'm going to do when I pick it back up is try to make the Pro Tour.
he's setting a realistic goal. He's like, he's giving himself basically a whole year to qualify, a year and a half if he doesn't want to qualify necessarily by the very beginning of next year's Pro Tour. So, you know, I mean, it's doable if you dedicate yourself and you actually have the talent. You know, you can probably do it. I mean, you know, commit to Magic Gathering Online, commit to finding other people who are good, and since he is pseudo-famous and he has money, you know, he will have the means to go ahead and try to make it work.
Well, once again, I'll bring this up again. If I've never played a game before, and I go to a game store and I look at a shelf of, you know, games, only one of them has a real, sustainable, very popular pro tour with a ton of money in it, and that's Magic. And if I'm like, you know, only pick one of these games, well, I don't want to take any other one. I mean, not only is Magic going to be the only funnest and the best, but it has competition I can play. I'm not going to go pick up Universal Fighting System or whatever. We go play in 8-man tournaments that happen, you know, once every 3 months. That's not what I want. I want to be able to go battle on the Pro Tour or, you know, go out to Grand Prix and stuff and show how much better I am than everybody else or how much worse I am than everybody else.
All right, guys. Is there any other Magic news we want to go over before we bust into our listener emails and also some live listener questions?
Did you guys talk to Nick at all? Nick Bonham, Mr. June?
He is here. He does not have his little chatty thing. All right, he doesn't have the phone call part in, but we can definitely take some questions.
Okay, I didn't know if you were... I'm going to be on his next show, on his podcast, and he was sending out a call for, like, any questions, I guess, people want to ask me. And so I guess I'll plug him for him since he's listening.
Oh, yeah, no, that'd be great.
Call in, Jen. I want to talk to you, Jen. Call in. Are you here? Call in.
Yeah, so if you have... Type in the chat window if he knows. We can figure it out. You can actually just call on a phone. It's actually fairly easy to do. We'll bust through the listener emails from this last week, and then we'll open this up to either people who want to call in and also just live listener chat questions as well.
Let me hit a couple news things real quick. I will do them quickly.
Okay. Quick hits with Eric. Quick, go. More like a bunch.
Yeah, quick hits with Eric. Did you get Magic the Gathering is the top hobby game in the fourth quarter of last year. That was on the Star System Post if you want to go look that up. Off Topic, which is a Magic the Gathering, MTG Salvation column, did how to turn a booster box into a deck box, and you can also put your EDH decks in them. I found that really cool because I had a metric ton of booster boxes at my house, pretty much empty, so I'll probably actually be using that myself. Gorbani, I think is how you pronounce it, won the TCG Player 5K in L.A., and there is an Outpost Masters series in Europe that is starting up, so those are kind of my quick hits.
All right. There we go. So we'll bust right into our listener emails here. Let's see. I'm not sure what's making all that noise there. And let me just try muting. Sorry, it's getting a little loud here. I'm not sure. I'm trying to figure out where this is coming from here. Oh, no.
I don't hear anything.
Now it sounds better. Okay.
I'm hearing something, but it's just fine.
I hear it as well.
Okay. No, we're sounding good now. This is what you get when you have like 8,000 people at the same time. So M. Hall, he sends in a B-movie recommendation. Apparently it's called Naked Space. It's like a 70s movie with Leslie. I think that might actually be Conley's.
What did I do?
Oh, we're just technical difficulties. somebody constantly burping.
It's not all that uncommon on here.
Yeah, it does happen. So M. Hall sent a B-movie recommendation, Naked Space with Leslie Nielsen. Vincent S. also reminds me of one of my favorite movies of all time, which is also a classic B-horror, and that's called Dead Alive. We'll be talking about this as my B-horror movie pick of the... Because if anybody doesn't realize, this was actually made by Peter Jackson.
Whoa!
Of The Lord of the Rings, Peter Jackson. This is one of his first movies. Actually, his first movie, I believe, was... it's called, like, Dead Meat or something like that. It's called this, like, intergalactic hamburger restaurant. They're harvesting human beings to use in their burgers.
Oh, that's great.
We'll talk about Dead Alive later. James B., he reminds me when I was trying to remember that Bill Cosby pen thing from last time. It was called Picture Pages with the magic pen. And the name of the marker was called Mortimer Marker. So, thank you. I could not remember that. Stefan M. writes in, he said that Battle Royale was not a B-movie, so it was actually pretty decent. There was actually a sequel, but the director died halfway through it and his son took over. So apparently it didn't turn out so well in the end.
Got it. Wow, it's like reading Frank Herbert novels.
Daniel W., he has a couple of Arnold movies to recommend. He said his first movie is called Hercules in New York, and there's also Godfrey Ho, which I have not heard of before. He has titles such as Ninja Terminator and Robo Vampire, which sounded pretty good. Kevin S. says, as I said, these are all B-movie recommendations. That's all I get for emails now. We have Kevin S. with Inbred Redneck, which is about cockfighting in Knoxville, Tennessee, and then Redneck Zombies, which he actually couldn't watch the whole thing. Steve W., he sent in everybody else that reminded me about what queef actually means. He also sent in a link to his Barbershop Quartet's Ode to John. He was in the Barbershop Quartet that sung at Pro Tour San Diego.
Oh!
This is Steve Wolf. He also has two B-movie recommendations. We have Flight, so like planes flying, Flight of the Living Dead, and Fido. Chad from Hawaii.
Fido is really good.
Which one is good?
Fido. That is an excellent movie.
Yeah, I had multiple recommendations for Fido. I also had multiple people email this week about the Flight of the Living Dead. So those are two I'll definitely be adding to my Netflix list. Chad from Hawaii, he also knew about Picture Pages. He also recommends Chinese Super Ninjas, Bloodsucking Freaks, and any movie ever made by Troma Studios, which was the first film from the creators of South Park. It's called Cannibal the Musical. He also recommends apparently this ongoing web series called The Guild that has Will Wheaton now. You can watch it through Xbox Live.
Oh,
yeah. Let's see, Will S., he sent in a magic dream. He said he was dreaming about the next new magics that was just some generic set. He felt that he remembers in his dream they decided to push the flavor of aspect magic by abandoning their template rules and then just having the cards basically just kind of say in very eloquent words what they're supposed to do. It's like the new counterspell said, the expression of mana force of your choice dissipates into the ether. Visit the library once this clash has concluded. He said it was very exciting because you weren't quite sure what any of the cards really did, which nice. I thought sounded pretty good. Mo B. also has a B-horror recommendation of Dog Soldiers. It says it's about a group of soldiers on a training mission that end up getting attacked by werewolves. Rick M., and he actually has a question for us and the people listening, is what are the chances that Wizards of the Coast would ever have a magic pro-am like in golf? So they have like a two-headed giant where we got like a magic two-headed pro giant. And like a celebrity.
Some Joe and some pro. Huh?
Yeah, so I'm just imagining what celebrity would be shackled to like a pro-level player for a day of two-headed giant.
Or if you're a pro player, which celebrity would you want to be shackled to? Gentlemen?
Yes, I think this is an excellent question for our two pro tour co-hosts right now.
We could pick any celebrity?
Yep. Man, women, dead or alive?
I'll make Gavin go first. I audible to Gavin.
Because whoever gets to go first, they have their first choice to get Rosie O'Donnell. Just saying.
Then they have to be actual people.
Yeah, you can't pick Superman.
Man, I wanted Digimon. I wanted, like, Greymon or something. Okay, we gotta pick a real one now. How about... I don't watch enough movies to know. It'd be cool to have Peter Parker carry my stuff around.
So you picked Peter Parker...
The person you pick is Tobey Maguire.
Okay.
I have like 30 seconds. I don't watch many movies. I just lost all respect for Gavin.
It was only funny because we just defined that we had to pick a real person, then he picks Peter Parker.
Peter Parker. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Be a non-movie person? Yeah, it's any celebrity. Oh, well then, how about Bill Gates? Bill Gates, how about
Jobs?
Wait, who would be there to have to take around you than Richard Garfield, right? They just have to be the best. You want to take him with you, and he just says what goes. Your point's not to be, you're like, no, Richard says no. That's it, came over.
Gavin is officially 17 times nerdier than me.
I agree with you 100% right now.
Yeah. I love the absolute number of 17 as well. Very nice.
I don't know. I would put somebody on my top 10 list, which is comprised of all females, since they are people that I find attractive. I don't know which one, though. I'd probably go with like somebody like... I can't pick one. This is for the sake that everybody can make fun of me, because everyone makes fun of me in real life for it. I would pick Mandy Moore.
There's nothing wrong with her.
Hey, Tommy, I'm with you. I'm Mandy Moore.
I love Mandy Moore. I have, like, she's the bomb. Yeah, not only do I have all of her songs, but, like, she's had so many good performances. You seem like a Lot to Remember, right?
That's, like, my favorite movie of all time, so yes.
Lot to Remember is awesome.
It's way better than Notebook. Everybody who says a Notebook's better, go die in a fire.
I agreed.
I think it's the best Mandy Moore movie I've saved. I'm sorry.
Can I explain to you why The Notebook is not a sad movie? Because these people die when they're like 80 years old and spend an entire life together with each other. Who the hell cares? That's when you're supposed to die, when you're old. And in Walk Your Member, she dies when she's like 19 because she has cancer. That's sad.
They don't know each other that well. Like, I mean, they're married or whatever, technically, but like, there's still a lot there left to do.
That's the most passionate I've ever heard Conley talk about a non-magic thing ever.
Yeah.
That's pretty... Wow. Like, there.
Yeah. Well, now let's make sure to spread the love a little bit. Let's Eric and Jack. Let's just assume that you're bitten by a radioactive pro player.
Yeah.
And gained super mad pro player skills, and you had to choose someone to be your pro am partner. Let's just get a glimpse into your psyches. Who would it be?
Yeah, Eric. Well, Eric, you're okay.
I'm gonna pick Inigo Montoya himself, Mandy Patinkin.
Ooh, okay. Very techie.
Okay. Jack, what about you? I have a pick for myself, too.
All right. This has to be a PG selection I'm going, so let me look around my room at a random poster. I'm going to say Bruce Campbell, because he seems like a nice, fun, awesome person to hang out with.
That's a good pick. What about you, Steve?
Well, I was thinking,
don't feed them BS. None of these are good picks. Bruce Campbell, come on.
Bruce Campbell's amazing. He's on top of his game right now. He's actually on a good show. He's on Burn Notice.
Yeah, Burn Notice is great.
You're talking about spending the rest of your life with this person, though.
No, you're talking about playing one magic event.
Yeah, usually you don't marry your pro-am partner.
Yeah.
Conley, I'm not sure what golf tournaments you've been watching, but yeah.
Why would you have to be shackled to them to play one magic event?
It's just a close turn of a phrase.
When I heard shackled, I assumed forever. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Conley, it's two-headed giant.
Conley, could you do us a favor and have a couple drinks?
No, I'm doing taxes. I'm sorry. This is confusing me.
Oh, okay. All right. We get the taxes thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I
worry about your taxes.
I think if I had to go female, I'd be real torn between Jodie Foster and Drew Barrymore.
Ooh, I think I'd go with Jodie Foster. She
might be able to hold her own there in a two-headed giant.
Let's just Drew Barrymore from Wayne's World.
Well, maybe. Yeah. That's true. But if I had to go the male route, and I'm going to try to one-up Jack on this, or not Jack, Eric, I'm going to try to one-up Eric on this, I'd go with Crispin Glover.
Ooh, yeah, he's a creepy dude. Ooh. Let's just see what he's like in real life.
Because I think he could just, like, stare at the competition and make him lose the game.
Yeah, that does be. Mine is a tie between Christopher Walken just to creep on my opponent.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Or Richard Dreyfuss just to hear him, like, say card names. I'm going to cast Naturalize. I'm going to tap my lance.
Nick Bonham is insisting on making fun of me, so I will give him some other options since I just picked one of my top 10. Eva Mendes and Sophia Bush are other options if that appeases you.
Yeah, and for my female, I have to pick because I always pose this question like to pick what's the most like beautiful man, beautiful woman. Bridget Fonda, that'd be the one that I'd pick. Because I've already talked about Rosie O'Donnell.
Yep.
So Bridget Fonda would be my choice.
Excellent.
I would have to say, if I have to choose a famous woman, it'd be Jessica Alba.
Okay, that's a good one.
Jessica was also my top 10. I thought it was too cliche, so I left her out.
I have no problem being cliche.
Last but not least, email here, then we'll go to our live listener question. So you've hung in, good job. Is that whoever put Christian Bale in for Raging Goblin, that's pretty good. I like that. You're all up for Raging Goblin. Just imagine tipping over the card table, all the cards go, All right, Damon V, he just sent an email letting me know that there actually has been announced a Mass Effect movie is in the works for 2012.
There you go.
Very cool.
It only happened because I talked about it 2 weeks ago or whatever, a week ago.
Exactly. That's what prompted the email.
Yeah, that's not only what prompted the email, that's what prompted the entire movie, Tom.
That's a good idea. We better bookmark that or trademark that real quick. I'm still thinking about Richard Clive to say a magic card right now.
I'm a big deal.
All right.
We all know Conley.
Excuse me, boys and girls, but Nick Bonham, the Mortal Gin, has just called in. We should let him speak.
Yeah, so we will go into our... We have basically three potential live callers. We'll go down the list here. So I'm going to start... Oho. So we'll start actually with Mellow Cow, because I believe he was one of the first ones on here. Then we'll be Tosis. Then we'll go to Nick. So first we have Mellow Cow. You are being unmuted and allowed to speak to the world now, hopefully with a minimal of sexual breathing.
Go. Now. Go. Stop.
You can. Is there any chance you could turn it up just a little bit on your side to be a little louder?
I don't know.
You sound good. Say it. Go for it. Do you have like a question? Do you want to stroke Conley's ego? This is your turn to shut.
What I wanted to mention is there was a listener mail we got some weeks ago, or probably some months ago, and the person told you that this one article was very suspicious, where they talked about the hexagonal lake in Zenica, and that it probably would have something to do with Mirrodin, right? And now you know that the next Mirrodin set is coming out, and the set has this hexagonal shape. So I guess it will have something to do with that.
All right. No, sounds good. Thanks for the comment, Kyle. Let me do is I'll put you on mute here, and then we'll actually run through this question for everybody. Okay, I think all right, guys, what do you thought? I mean, we've had some talk about this before, kind of the theories of kind of the... You actually had the... Steve, you had that crazy theory about the unfolding of... Did you have the unfolding of...
Oh, the unfolding, yeah. I tried to take the Zendikar when it looked like Worldwake was coming out, and it looked like the Zendikar symbol was kind of unfolding, and I kind of cut up some pieces of paper and unfolded it more, and I thought for a second or two there it was going to look like a flask.
Mm-hmm.
Which would really freak me out, you know, from Urza's legacy, Destiny. Urza's Destiny.
Yeah, the little beaker thing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my god, that would be amazing. And then, of course, I unfolded it wrong, and it was actually some very strange shape that I don't even know the name of, so.
And
swinging a mess.
And we actually saw a little bit of this. This was from the Plane Chase cards. We did have the Mirrodin plane where it was covered with, like, hexagonal shapes. Do you feel that there is any connection between, like, our Zendikons and Mirrodin, or they just kind of a... happy circumstance that they kind of look like each other.
Boy, hard to say. We do know that the next set is going to be the Return to Mirrodin.
Exactly.
So the big question is, how does the Return to Mirrodin and the plane that Mirrodin exists, does it relate to this plane? I mean, in the way they do the Magic storyline, is there some relation to what's going on? Or are they just kind of just throwing a few things out there to wet our whistles, get us thinking, and stir the pot?
What do you guys think for the other co-host there?
Not related at all. I think as far as we know, the Hedrons are related to the Eldrazi. So I think that they're more of an Eldrazi-based thing than a Mirrodin-based thing. I mean, I don't follow the storyline super close or anything, but I think it's something to do with Eldrazi, and that they're not exactly Mirrodin pieces.
Actually, my first thought about the Hedrons was that basically the plane, was the Zendikar plane was going to turn into Mirrodin. Now, this was before I think it was even known that the next set was Mirrodin-wise. A lot of people had speculated that we were going to return to an artifact block because it kind of been cyclical in that fashion, and I was thinking that... Boy, these Hedrons just look like they could be chock full of artifact goodness, and maybe what's happening is this plane used to be Mirrodin, and now it's going to be Mirrodin again.
It's kind of lost its artifactiness, now it's just big color, big colorless beasties.
But I think it's beginning, of course, you know, the Eldrazi come out, and even though they're colorless, they're not artifacts. So I guess there's no artifacts.
Yeah, we don't know. Here. All right, guys, let's move on to our next live call here, Tosis. You're going to be on here in just a second. Let me unmute you.
Oh, Tosis.
Heads up. All right, Tosis, you are unmuted, so you can either ask a really good question or, you know, make horrific noises.
I will try to ask you. Well, I'll try to make a good comment. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we were doing great. Sounds good.
Good. I have to talk quiet because it's 3:30. No, I'm sorry. It's almost 5 o'clock in the morning here.
Okay.
Asleep. Well, one of that was the reserve list announcement that came out recently. Very kind of disappointing for everybody who might want to jump into an internal format. But what I was thinking was, just because they that's like the graph and I print them, but the cards doesn't mean that they can't reprint nearly functionally identical cards. But I think the key word there is that they can't have the same type or subtype. And it would be really easy to tack a subtype onto an artifact, like a Black Lotus could be turned into a Flax Lotus with a subtype power or something like that. So if they really wanted to, they could still make versions of the cards. I'm not saying that they would, but I would say maybe not lose hope entirely.
The problem with that, though, is that if they do that, they would have to then ban the original power, which would drop it dramatically in price, because you can't allow people to have a Black Lotus and a Black Lotus wannabe in the same deck.
That's true. And in Vintage, they're not allowed anyway. So I'm not thinking necessarily of Power 9. I'm thinking maybe more of the... what's a good example of a card that's on the reserve list?
I think
the biggest
Force of Will.
People talk about giving the dual lands tribal, like tribal Kraken for a underground sea, but even then you're still letting people run 8 dual lands if they really want to in their blue-black deck in Legacy, which I guess isn't completely broken, but it's still a little beyond what I think Wizards wants.
Well, the problem with that is, I thought about this too. It doesn't help alleviate the problem, right? The problem is people need these lands to play their cards. If you make it so they can play with 8, they're still going to need all 8. They're not just going to need... Exactly, yeah, exactly.
I think if they were going to look to try to, get around the reserve list, I think they just would have come out and flat out, instead of making it stronger, they would have loosened it or gotten rid of it. The thing is that they're committed to not making functionally equivalent reprints or skirting around it. If they wanted to still skirt around it, they never would have taken out the piece that said that they can make promotional versions of it. They just would have left that in place, skirted around it like that, if they thought they couldn't do anything else to it.
Yeah.
I still want to hear what they actually talked about in that meeting. How they came up with the decision after the largest tournament in Magic history, which was a Vintage tournament, to then go ahead and say, okay, we're not going to be reprinting any of these Vintage cards that everybody's going to want now. And I'm sure they have good reasons. I just would like to hear them.
Yeah, and they're being really tight-lipped about it, too. I'm sure there are a lot of internal reasons why, and possibly some of it's going to be what we're going to see in the next couple sets. But, they're not saying anything about it whatsoever. So, we're just going to have to wait and see. Currently it frustrates me. I really wanted the reserve list to be gone with, or at least made, a lot less lucid, that for Legacy to be a healthy format, that really needs to be, especially reprinted dual lands and some of the other staples. But what happens in upcoming months as more sets come out. Maybe they already have some plans in the works. We'll just kind of have to see.
Maybe. I'm kind of still frustrated they never actually came out and said anything about the Price of Treasures that I heard about.
Well, they weren't allowed to. That was a legal issue. You're not allowed to buy your own product and then sell it back on the market. So they had to
avoid
along with that because there was legal issues there. So if they just ignored it altogether, they could claim it as an accident or something. So
I had a feeling it was something like that.
All right. Well, Tosas, thank you for calling in. That was actually a really good question. That was a pretty good discussion of that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. What we'll do is we can always come back, but let me go on to our next caller here, and we'll go on to Nick. So, Nick, prepare yourself, get your pants on, robe off.
Okay.
You're about to be unmuted. All right, Nick. Hopefully you're still with us because you are now unmuted.
Mandy right. Moore, dude. Come on.
There we are. Okay, hit me. Or hit Conley.
I don't know. I don't know how to follow up Tosas there. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I like that idea of functional.
How you guys doing?
We're doing pretty
fantastic. I am just excited to be a part of it. 200 episodes. I can't even imagine doing 200 episodes of my show. That's about 80 years worth.
So true. It is very true.
That's because you publish about as regularly as I do.
Yeah, that's true. Gavin, who did you pick?
Hey, I gave you two other choices. I said Eva Mendez or Sophia Bush as well. I just picked one of my top 10.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Andy Moore.
Yeah. Much as I like you, Nick, I'm siding with Conley and Mandy Moore. There is that special kind of girl next door sort of mystique. So I'm going to side with them on that one.
Yeah, but who's yours, Tom? Who's your number one?
My number one is, as Conley kind of said, he gets made fun for his, I get made fun for my, I've kind of joked about Rosie O'Donnell. She's not my number one. I just said there is more attractiveness than than meets the package when you look at it. There's more attractiveness there than that. My number one pick, though, is Bridget Fonda.
I can actually see that. Point of no return, singles.
Exactly. Just to add something there, I don't know. It's still maybe kind of that girl next door thing. I don't know. What about for you, Steve? Actually, you're sitting right next to me.
What, girl next door?
Or, like, yeah, number one. I mean, obviously...
Number one? What do you mean?
Like,
my number one...
Like, number one most beautiful actress, or if you just had to pick this. You know, not that you want to spend the rest of your life with them. They could be horrendous, you know, banshees in real life, but just pure printed page. You're looking at them. Steve covering his one eye is in pain.
It's like, how can you even... I don't know, man. You know, I don't look at women as a main course. I look at them as a buffet. So, I mean, you know, it's hard to pick out your favorite.
Who would be on your OC Old Country buffet of beautiful women, Steve? Who's going to be the fried chicken? Who's going to be the baked fish? And who's going to be the, you know, the Oreo cream cheese pie that's way down the end?
Well, yeah. Well, how about Michelle Yeoh for one?
Okay, that's a good one.
She's pretty, you know, and, you know, all the way over, you know, and... Honestly, you know, this kind of flips over music, but there is a certain great attractiveness to Queen Latifah.
I will give it. I mean, she's like for Maybelline and stuff. I give you that one.
For a woman who's large and in charge, she's just it's just as a glow to her.
I agree with you 100%.
So, I mean, as you see.
Absolutely concur with that 110%.
Okay.
I am
thanks.
All over the
place. I got to give you guys my number one. Mary Louise Parker from the Weed series.
Yeah,
you're making fun of me anymore.
Then get this on Mary Louise Parker, man. You just can't do it. Manny Moore, come on.
I just
this is Cougar Town. I like that one.
Although, you know, if I go into a time machine, I'd take first or second season from first or second season of Buffy. I would go with Buffy.
Oh, okay. Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Sarah Michelle Gellar. Yeah. Just
okay, I'll give you that one.
First or second season, though. I mean, when she still had that slightly chubby cheeks and a little upturn to her nose, very cute. Oh my gosh,
I'll give you that one.
Okay. So this is a magic question here. I got a magic question.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, whoa. This is the magic podcast. Hey. Let's bring it back. You're doing Eric's chapter.
All right. See, this one goes towards Seed.
You're gonna have me on the show in like 2 weeks, and you're asking me a question now.
I'm asking you right now. I've got a lot of other questions for you too, but this one's coming from me. How am I going to qualify for Pro Tour Amsterdam using 4 summoner straps?
I already told you this answer in real life, in person, at the card shop.
I might not have been listening to you because I don't listen to you very often. So.
Oh, well, I can't go and announce it over the air, that way everybody knows.
Okay.
Jeez.
You guys live in the same area, so you guys could meet again and meet at McDonald's or like a Red Robins or something like that.
I don't like to be in public with Nick, so because it embarrasses me, so I just I go in the shadows, back alleys, things like that.
Was it better to be embarrassed or actually have, like, be in personal danger from him like attacking you?
I think the real question here is how are we going to qualify in a standard qualifier season with summon attack? Seems like there can be some problems.
The summoning trap is what he meant to say.
Summoning trap, okay. I see. That makes more sense.
Okay.
Let me shoot a question here at Nick, and that is, I know you guys had a Front Range Magic tournament that has gone on over there. How has that worked out?
It's been really good. I mean, it's really, really popular. The thing that I was a little bit worried about was that it's a non-sanctioned event, and usually players like to win their ratings points and everything, but because it was non-sanctioned, I think the majority of the players enjoyed it, and they liked playing in it. Unfortunately, Conley hasn't been able to play in like 2 out of 3 of them because he's been, you know, in Orlando or.
I won the only one. True or false? I won the only one I played in.
Madagascar, wherever he decides to travel to, you know, and he doesn't come to the local ones. He's too good for us. I don't know.
Okay, what's the time frame on these? When's the next one? When was the last one? And what kind of competition is this? Let the folks who listen to Magic know more about this.
It's actually pretty fierce competition. I mean, it's more of a team competition because you get to choose 4 teammates, you know, yourself and 3 other guys, and essentially it works out like the point structure for Worlds, where you know you play individually, but your point structure is a team. So that's actually the only way you can trick the DCI reporter into doing it. Yet they have to actually manually get those points down. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's pretty competitive. I mean, top 8 in the last one. It was a lot of fun.
All right.
The next one, I think the next one is going to be in like another 2-3 months, but I'm looking forward to it whenever we decide to lock it down where I'll be there. But in fact, probably, and if he'll have, I was actually going to ask Conley to be on my next team, but that depends on whether or not he's going to, you know, be in like Amsterdam or Hong Kong or wherever the hell he goes.
Whether he big times you or not.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Depends on how nice he is to me.
Nick, thank you very much for doing this. I'm actually going to open up here to some, potentially some chat questions for a few minutes before we wrap up the show, because we are going on about an hour and 40 minutes now.
Congratulations on number 200, guys.
Oh, thank you very much. It's, these Tashi ones are always interesting. We know that the sound quality is not the best, but they're fun.
Congrats on number 15, Nick.
before we go to your chat questions, Tom, I want to throw a shout-out to an MTGCast listener who flew into St. Louis and then showed up at my card shop because I heard about it on Monday Night Magic.
No, do you mean shout-out or restraining order? Which one are you?
A shout-out. I don't think he's talking. I'm referring to Jay from Omaha. So, Jay, thanks for visiting my shop. And next time you come, I'll let the shop owner know that you heard about it from Monday Night Magic.
All right. Well, thank you for that shout-out, Eric. We're having a little bit of a technical difficulty here. Excuse me. We'll kind of wrap it up. We also want to open up to some chat questions. So we'll spend a few minutes. Yeah, I know we did have some heavy breathing there for a second. So we're going to open up to some chat questions here. So if you want to ask us a question, we'll spend a few minutes here doing some questions live. Type into the chat message window right now, and we'll try to catch it.
And while we're waiting for you to chat up some questions here, I've been teasing Tom the past couple weeks
yeah,
of some special presentation here. And I think episode 200 is a great way to do this. I started researching quite a few months ago. Actually, a couple of years ago, this came on my radar, and that is, okay, what is that all about? All right, it came on my radar that people were doing alternate art cards by like, painting on them and such, and this really came to my attention back when Richie Prophet passed away. He was he was the moderator of the do-your-own-art forums on MTG Salvation, widely known and loved by a lot of people.
Polar Bear God was his
handle. And so when I was going through some of these forums, thinking, well, I'll check this out, I was just stunned by some of the things that people did with their cards. So a couple weeks ago for the Summon Elder Dragon podcast, I started thinking about one of the features we were going to end up doing on one of the shows, and that is pimping out your deck. And I contacted some of the more prominent card modifiers out there, ones you can find actual websites for. And I got an offer from the folks at Card Kitty to do up a card for free if we gave them a little air on time.
Oh, really?
On here. So this is a little quid pro quo here and whatnot.
We got
a little card here for Tom, and I figured, I could have gotten a card for myself, but I thought, you know, Tom does a lot of work for the MTGCast Network and for Monday Night Magic, and as a celebration of episode number 200 and all of his work, I'm going to proudly present him with this modified card. And Tom, you're going to turn it over and live.
It's face
your
down.
Game.
It's been morphed.
Oh, yes.
It's morphed into my possession.
Tom, you can now unmorph your special card.
Okay.
Thanks to Card Kitty and from all of us, thanks to you.
Is it the one that was actually on their website, the Experiment Garage?
Well, it's based off the one on the website, but I believe it was actually custom done when ordered.
That is phenomenal. It's try to explain it. It's Experiment Garage, which we know is one of my favorite EDH generals, but it's completely a full art. So just Experiment Garage, casting cost on the top, then the rest has actually been filled in with custom art. Steve, that is awesome. Thank you very much.
You're
welcome. That is so cool. I've always wanted one of this.
Yeah, it looks. I mean, it's. I'm not sure how. I know I've seen how they do it, but it's amazing because you can tell it's actually been hand-painted.
Yeah.
And they're actually on the website Mana Nation. This past week, someone actually went and did a step-by-step process of how they went about modifying. I think they did Putrid Leech, and they actually told you what paints to mix and how much, and they went through the whole process. So it's really neat. We'll get the link on the show notes for that in case you want to try this at home. We'll have the link for Card Kitty. And I'll make sure we have a picture of this so that everybody can enjoy that. But
Enjoy it. Thank you. And cool, it's like the Card Kitty's like signature, it's like a little paw on the left hand corner. That is awesome.
I know Card Kitty has ended up being in a lot of like, I think on the Mothership they once did a customized art, a question about what was legal, what wasn't, and they highlighted some cards, and I think the majority of them were Card Kitty cards.
Oh, okay.
But, so they're definitely one of the big names, but they're definitely not the only. You can go on eBay and look for altered art cards, modified cards, and you can do some web searches. And anyone interested in that, feel free to email us. Email me at pinchhitter@mtgcast.com. So
that is awesome, Steve. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I've been very curious about what the special gift was. I didn't know it was like a magic card. I'm like, I don't know what this is.
It was a great excuse to taunt Tom for a while.
It was. No, that is phenomenal. So this will be obviously the general now in the EDH deck. Yep. So that is really cool.
You now will always have to have an Experiment Cards deck put together.
Yes. All right. So did we get any chat codes? I was not paying attention to the chat window there, so I apologize.
Oops. Eric, save us.
Eric, keep
me. I saw one that was who was your favorite guest host who's been on Monday Night Magic? And I'll go first. I think my favorite guest host was Chewy from the Manipool, who stepped in on the time when everyone else was on vacation and prevented me from having to do one of the famous Tom Solo shows. So
I kind of like the What Time Bill Sturt came on. That was a classic.
Yeah, that was quite...
I have to agree, that was classic.
Can you guys remind... I was trying to remember this from when Bill Stark was on. There was some sort of controversy that just happened, and that's actually why Bill came on to talk about it. Do you guys remember what the... All I remember was a controversy. I can't remember what it was about, though.
Yeah, that's when I bumped him out of that.
It was something involving Bill.
What? Say that again.
It was something involving Bill. We wanted we had just talked to him about it, and we were like, oh, there's a cast. Why don't you come on and do it with us?
Okay.
I think he had some comments on support that kind of got things stirred up.
Yeah, it was about the... Wizards Play Network and like doing it, somebody was doing it at a church or something like that.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
A big debate on doing magic in a professional meeting, like a store setting.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. All right. So we also have the other ones that we, I guess for co-hosts, I mean, that's kind of a lot of the, usually it's like the gen, you know, usually it's kind of the main group of co-hosts.
Yeah, when you start talking about guest hosts versus co-hosts.
Yeah. All right, guys. We also have a question. What's your favorite episode to record?
What was that? Favorite episode to record?
Well, I know we have a lot of fun recording those preview cards, but
yeah, those are usually pretty good ones.
Preview cards are always fun. Some of my favorites were like the really early ones, like back, let's say episode 10 or 20, right? Because for a lot of reasons. First of all, because you never knew what was going to happen. But sometimes it would just like stay on you and you'd have to record it twice. But also because we had like sound emoticons back then, and we could, you know, make sounds and singing sounds, and you just would enter them randomly. And like, we weren't all big timer like we were now. We could just fool around.
Okay, I
have to say, I don't think you can pick a favorite episode to record. And when you're working with quality hosts like Tom and like Gavin and like Steve and Jack, you know, all those...
Whoa!
I was wondering who you're going to leave out.
You have slandered my good name.
Sure, slandered his name, at least.
Oh, yeah, that commonly gets you, too.
So, Eric, since when did North Dakota get you, and their voodoo doll?
Yeah, the North Dakota Tourism Board has apparently bribed Eric.
Well, this is exciting. I no longer am friends with Eric.
Yeah, well, hey, Kyle, this reminds me. Is you're going to be here in August for the Nationals in Minneapolis, and as I put in the show, this is a... less than 4 hours away from Fargo, North Dakota. We could definitely make it there and back in a day.
The only way I'm going to Fargo, North Dakota is if you drug me, throw me in the back of a van in a burlap sack, and then roll me out into the middle of the road, and then I wake up in Fargo, North Dakota. It's the only way it's happening.
Yeah, you're talking like,
the last
talking
time
like I'm not...
That almost to happened to me with my bachelor party.
Well, hold on. I'm taking notes here, kindly. What was the third step? I just want to make sure I get this down.
We got drugged. Van.
Van, okay, got it.
Then,
Do you want a conversion van or cargo van?
Yeah, windows or no windows? Should it be just an ice cream truck on the side or
what color?
No, the windows have to have a magnet stuck to the outside that says, like, you're some cleaning crew. and it needs to be no seats in the back. It needs to be cargo van. And preferably black or white, one of those two colors.
White.
The license plate needs to be unreadable from more than 5 feet away.
Maybe
a really weird bumper sticker on it.
Maybe a little spoiler on the back and some fog lights on top on the front.
Yeah, and then you need to get a video camera and then ask me if that chloroform smells funny to me, and then cutscene to me rolling out in the middle of the street.
Well, since we're talking about cutscenes and setting this up like a movie, there was a question in the chat about who would play your fellow hosts in the movie of the MTP cast. So I think the way we should do this is Conley can go first, and whoever's last gets to pick Conley. So Conley, go ahead, pick a host you wanna pick someone out to represent them, and go for it.
Why you gotta make me go first? Now I'm thinking.
I figured you'd land me with somebody ugly or something. So
no, you would clearly be Mandy Moore. No, all right, I'll do Eric. Let me think though. Who's a good Eric?
I'm just trying to think of guys with beards.
No, I'm thinking of somebody.
We almost need to think about this and talk about it in the next episode. Almost.
I got it. Eric would be played by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Ooh, well done.
Ooh, slam dunk.
My pick.
Okay. I'm picking Tom as mine, and I think Pierce Brosnan for Tom.
Okay. He's getting a Christmas present.
For Tom, I would pick Robert Redford, but not like modern day Robert Redford, more like back when he played Jeremiah Johnson for that remembers that movie.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
I got Jack.
So Tom, go ahead and pick somebody.
Let's see who. So we've done. You're gonna do Jack. I have to do Conley then.
You kind of.
No, the last person has to do me apparently.
I'm just trying to think. I've seen some pictures of Conley. I've never met him in real life to know like who to pick.
Oh. Well, just think of him in a Girl Scout outfit.
Okay. Oh, well, Conley, you're supposed to be sassy. I'm going to pick Christian Bale.
What?
Because like when Christian Bale gets like a little angry and just kind of goes to town, I think that'd be at least be entertaining. So Christian Bale for Conley Woods.
I'm also fighting with Tom, everybody. There's only Gavin and Steve left.
Eric and I are off the island now.
What? Who got? Oh,
so you were going to?
I was going to do something for Eric. I think Matthew McConaughey. Look at his southern drawl going on, you know.
Oh, that's good. And you can say the same for Jack, though, too.
And I understand the ladies really like him, so.
Yeah, that does tend to happen. It makes them weaken their knees and whatnot.
All right, guys. Should we move on to
Gavin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
Gavin is Kevin Spacey, which works. I don't know who that is, but I'll figure it out. Kevin Spacey is? Who did he play? I don't know actor's name, but it's other characters. Who did he play?
He played Lex Luthor in Superman Returns.
Okay, that's all I needed to know.
He was also in like K-Pax. You really want to. And,
I look like the guy who plays Styler on Heroes. I don't know if that's true or not.
Oh, okay.
I think he would be good for Gavin.
All right, guys.
Oh, God, that's right, yeah.
So we'll move on to the end of our show. This has been epic. We're approaching 2 hours, so... Both Steve and I need to go to bed soon because I'm old. So we'll say MTG Cast News. I want to remind everybody we're continuing our World Wake booster pack giveaway for a couple more weeks. This is in the Planeswalkers movie. Pick the Planeswalker and which actor you'd like them to be or to portray them. This is no longer limited to Marlon Wayans. You can do it with any actor, actress, and any Planeswalker.
You may still get a few extra points for Marlon. Marlon
Wayans. He's a tough one to... Because he's such a broad actor. It's really hard to... pigeonhole him into one Planeswalker character. And last but not least, we'll leave you with a B-movie recommendation to listen to on the way out. And this is Dead Alive, one of the first movies by Peter Jackson. Basically, it's a zombie movie. There's this island where there's rat monkeys, and when they bite you, you turn into a zombie. And one of these gets taken to a zoo and they're all British, or excuse me, New Zealand actors. I almost said British.
Well, right.
And New Zealand. Basically, bites the mom. She turns into a zombie. It's a gross out movie. It's supposedly the goriest movie of all time. There's a scene where he's fighting zombies, where he actually just picks up a old lawnmower and then just kind of walks through waves of zombies, like pushing it forward and just like chopping with the blades.
Oh, goodness.
It's phenomenal. So, guys, we'll kind of run through all of our email addresses. So, if you want to email us, If you have any last thoughts for episode 200, then we'll wrap it up because it's been a marathon. So, Conley, let's start with you over on the digital side here.
All right. I'm Conley at mggcast.com. And I just want to say that Eric and Tom are friends off.
No, I'm never going to be back in the show again. If you all. He just walks out with both middle fingers up into the sunset.
I dropped my phone, too. I'm yelling from across the room right now.
All right, Gavin, since we may not see you again until episode 250.
Yeah, basically. You can email me at filmme. You can listen to Virgo, L-E-S-U-R-G-O, @messages.com. And it's been a wonderful 200 episodes for us, like 90 of them. And I'm looking forward to the next set. Hopefully I'll be able to make it around more often. It's been great catching with all of you. And also, we didn't put that on the show, but tomorrow is my 20th birthday. And which is crazy because the MTGKS is turning 200 today. So happy birthday to MTGKS and myself. And I look forward to seeing all of you at events. I'll be at Grand Prix Houston this weekend. And if you're there, I'll see you there.
Before your birthday, you should do ecstasy through the butt.
Is that good? Can you
what?
I did.
I just made it up. It might not even work.
So you absorb it through your mucosa? Is that what you're telling me? You can do that with alcohol.
Yep.
That's the quickest way to get drunk is to do it through your rectum.
My goodness. Yeah. I did not know that.
All right. Eric, you're next.
Yes. My email address is Eric, E-R-I-C, @mtgcast.com. You can follow me on Twitter as The Watchman, T-H-E-W-A-C-H-M-A-N. If one of the hosts might be available for some editing, I have an open letter to Wizards that I'm writing that I want to put up on our site and maybe a couple other places, and it would be helpful if I could get it edited.
Already, that's
great. We'll see if I can find someone else.
All right, to guest 49, about saying that it is very dangerous to do the rectal alcohol bong, you are right. People can actually die from alcohol poisoning, so that is a good point. Jack, you're next.
All right, send all new tape mail, et cetera, as usual, to jack@mtgcast.com. I'd like to say, due to all the listeners, we believe would not have made 200 episodes without the support you guys give us. You're great, you're all phenomenal. We really appreciate every single one of you, and I know that sounds like a gigantic group hug, but it is. Like, we wouldn't be doing this if we didn't think that people enjoyed it, so thank you, especially to the people that joined us tonight.
All right, let's see. Next, Steve.
Yeah, you can email me at pinchhitter@mtgcast.com, and 200 episodes, phenomenal. It's just quite a journey since I started listening to this cast. I'm a latecomer. I probably started listening around 100 or 120 or so, and one of the coolest moments of my life was, realizing that I knew this guy who I'd been listening to, and all of a sudden I have someone else to...
So he calls you the inch hitter. I thought that was pretty funny.
Inch hitter. Oh, my goodness. Okay. But I want to echo Jack's sentiments about the people listening, and I also want to give a special shout out to all the people who logged on and listened to us live. I think we went I thought I caught like 68 or 70 or something like that as far as the guest numbers, so thank you all. It's been great.
Yeah, there was quite a few. Tom, pitimp at mtgcast.com or papabear at mtgcast.com, even though I know what that means now, still I still use it. This has been a long time. I've been here since episode 4 or 5 or 6, I think we calculated, pretty much since the beginning when Dom was still doing it on his own.
Way back then.
Yes, a long time ago. But it's been fun. It's been a long, long time, 4.5+ years. I've come close to quitting.
Yeah, it survived far from the third episode like I thought it would.
Was it third episode?
No, it's long past the third episode where I said it was going to die soon.
Oh, yes. So yeah, I started as the co-host and then eventually took over the show and Dom moved on to bigger and better things. It's been very fun. I have been very close to quitting as the co-host now once a year, it seems like. I'm just like, I'm done. I hate this. I'm done. And then it takes me about a week to kind of fume, and then I'm back doing the show next week. Usually listeners never even know this.
It's kind of like a quick
fail. Yeah, it's like
it was very disconcerting the first time that happened. And then Gavin emails me, this happens, he'll be fine, he'll be back in a week or two. It's like, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I realize it's not everyone, so I just got to vent, and that's what happens. But no, it's been fantastic. This live show was great. It was great having you, the co-host, here with us. We love having all the international listeners, which is something that I'm still amazed by when I'm sending out prizes to Peru and Ecuador and Eastern Europe and Australia, South, and then Trinidad and Tobago once. I sent some prizes there. Yeah. So phenomenal. It's a lot of fun. It's weird to know that Wizards of the Coast actually listens to this every once in a while. That's still very, very strange since we don't really put any money into this. But no, we appreciate it. It's a fun time. So we have two listeners from Germany who chime in right there.
Nice.
But again, thank you guys for listening. It was a very interesting episode 200. We'll be back next week to our usual episode 201. But we'll keep doing the live shows every once in a while. It's interesting. And I'll say goodbye. Thank you for listening. And I promise this is not the last episode. So everybody say goodbye, and we'll end this.
Goodbye.
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 All right. So it's kind of like Gavin, are too good to say goodbye. I'm stopping the call now.